one of the greatest matches in UEFA Champions League history, the highest scoring semi-final ever in the competition. Paris and Bayern treated us to a night of attacking football that kept us on the edge of our seats from the start to the finish. A brilliant game with the French side taking a slender advantage into the second leg. So much to talk about from the Parc des Princes and another semi-final to look forward to as well. It's all coming up next. I'm Natalie Sawyer and welcome to the podcast. And what a match we have been treated to on Tuesday as the semi-finals got underway. Watching events in the French capital, European football expert Kevin Hatchard is alongside me as well as commentator John Bradley. Have we calmed down? Are we all right?
Will we ever calm down? Will anything ever be the same again? It's one of the greatest games of all time, not just in the Champions League, full stop, in this sport that we love. I mean, it was relentless from the get-go. One team was on top, then the other team was on top. At no stage did any of them say, should we have a bit of a breather? Should we keep the ball? Should we just try and cling on for a bit? It was just relentless. And I've only got utter admiration for every player that participated in that.
You know, there's a lot of talk in football these days, you know, set pieces, time wasting, negative things about football. Everything that we love about football we saw in the Parc des Princes, because it was two heavyweights who just went out and decided to go for each other, and they were relentless. But there was a great level of respect amongst the players as well, the sportsmanship out there as well, and just to deliver the standard of attacking football that they did was beyond, I think, any of our expectations and anyone's belief, really. And there was a stage where Paris Saint-Germain exploded in the second half, got into a 5-2 lead, and you thought, well, there's no coming back because these are the European champions. But Bayern said, you know, hold my drink, we're coming. And boy, did they come. And in the end, it took a goal line clearance by William Pacho with virtually the last touch of the game to deny Bayern a 5-5 draw. But I mean, you know, it's half time in the tie. If the second leg's even half what this has been, it's going to be an incredible night.
It'll be another exhausting evening, I'm sure. So 5-4 it ended to Paris, and no team had scored more goals than Paris and Bayern in this year's UEFA Champions League heading into these semi-finals. So what would happen when the competition's two entertainers came head to head? Kevin and John were watching for Matchday Live.
It's Kane against Safonov. 4 metre run up, a little stutter, a little pause, sends the goalkeeper the wrong way and rolls it into the bottom right hand corner of the net. Left hand side of the penalty area, cutting inside, shooting and scoring brilliantly. Incredible individual goal by Grisha Kvaratskhelia. Dembele with the corner, and in the near post it's met by João Neves, who guides a header beyond Neuer into the far corner, and Paris Saint-Germain have turned this around. We're inside the final 5 minutes of the first half in the Parc des Princes, but here's Olise inside the box, goal. Received the ball in a dangerous area, carried it 2-3 metres and thunders the ball home. He'll move from the edge of the penalty area. He strikes right footed and he beats Manuel Neuer. Away to Neuer's left, he gets the right way, the goalkeeper. He wasn't far away, but that was one heck of a spot kick from Ousmane Dembélé. Too pacey, too powerful. What a pass by Vitinha. Hakimi inside the penalty area. Players arriving in pace. It's Kvaratskhelia! It's another goal for Paris Saint-Germain. Brilliantly finished by the Georgian genius that is Grisha Kvaratskhelia. And it's a big lead now for Paris in the context of the tie. Doué helps it on to Dembélé. Dembélé on the left side of the penalty area. He shoots, he scores! He's crept it in the near post. Pass Manuel Neuer. Delivered towards Upamecano! It's in for Bayern. They have got the goal that they wanted, the goal that they needed. Luis Diaz inside the penalty area, turns and scores. Sensational goal by Luis Diaz. Twisted Marquinhos one way, went the other.
So it was a fantastic night and a first victory for Paris over Bayern. after six games without a win. And it was simply incredible, breathtaking. And Kevin, really a night for the attackers.
Yes, although actually, I was thinking as the game was unfolding, how hard is it to be a defender in a game like this? And actually, some of the stuff that Pacho cleared off the line right at the end, Marquinhos, Jonas Santara, I thought was heroic. I thought he was phenomenal, actually. Upamecano, these are guys under the most unbelievable pressure, with these guys swarming all around them. You've got man-on-man defending in midfield. You've got, like, one-on-one, so constantly having to think, right, where's the next threat? What have I got to do next? But you're right, it was where the attacking players shone. Kane got his penalty, and at that stage, Bayern were looking really good at 1-0 up, because I thought they'd started brilliantly. Luis Diaz was looking really strong again, just as he was in the league phase when he scored twice in Paris. But then Kvaratskhelia showed what he can do just in a moment. And it was a lovely ball to find him by Doué. And then he squares up Stanisic, and then a gorgeous finish across him. Then the smallest guy on the pitch, Joao Neves, scores a header from a corner, which I still can't work out. Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever will, but that just comes from his bright-eyed awareness of what's going on around him. Olise then finds the tiniest gap and smashes one in. But then what was interesting, because Dembele scores the penalty right at the end of the first half, when it gets to 4-2 and then 5-2, that's when Bayern look into the abyss and think, right, what are we going to do here? Because a lot of teams at 5-2 down, with Paris playing in the way that they do, would have thought, and it was miles to go, it was like half an hour to go, wasn't
they
were, it?
They had a swagger as well, didn't they?
Yeah, Paris had a real swagger.
They had a swagger.
So then you look at it, if you're Bayern, and you think, which way do we go? Do we think damage limitation, or we try and nick one, and then we go back to Munich, and maybe it's a two-goal difference? But no, this is what Kompany's done with them. They were always a club and a team that felt they could outscore anyone, felt they could take anyone on. Kompany's really upped the ante with that. He's just taken them up one more gear that they thought, well, okay, we're 5-2 down, it's fine. We'll probably win 6-5. That's not a problem. And they got back to 5-4 with two quick goals. And from then on, it really was about them pushing for an equaliser. Maiolu hits the bar, it could have been 6-4, but I really admire the way both teams, when they were on the canvas, got back up.
Yeah, and absolutely. And at times, John, what we saw from these two sides, you mentioned the swagger of Paris, but when they both turn it on, my goodness, they're a joy.
It's relentless the way that they play as well. I mean, Bayern came out of the trap so quickly, and they got at Paris early on, rewarded with the goal, and you thought, good start. Well, Paris, your turn. And they responded so well, didn't they, to turn the game around in the manner that they did, with the goal by Fischer Kvaratskhelia. It was a wonderful individual goal to turn and finish in one movement. Then, as Kev says, Joao Neves pops up, as he does in the penalty area, the smallest man on the pitch, and the game just came back and forth, and you were wondering, it was like one of those great movies that is, the action is non-stop in it, and you're wondering which way it was going to go in the end. I've got massive respect for Bayern, because I thought Paris were going to run away with it at 5-2, and they were playing with such confidence, and all the players, the movement around. But you just get that one free kick, that great delivery by Joshua Kimmich, great little flick header by Upamecano, and suddenly they think it's back on. And all of a sudden, Bayern have got a bit of a swagger about them, and they're keeping the ball and they're pushing Paris back. Now, Paris had a 20-minute spell at Liverpool in the last round where they were ruffled, but they were ruffled constantly tonight, and they kept coming back into the game. But as we say, I mean, it's set up so beautifully for what we're going to get in Munich.
Quality of the Paris finishing in the tie against Chelsea was out of this world, and I thought it was the same in this game, actually, because if you look at Kvaratskhelia's finish for 4-2, I mean, he's finished for the equaliser for a start, but the finish for 4-2 is great, because Manuel Neuer thinks, right, he's going to definitely whip it to my left. He's got to. It's the only thing he can do. So Neuer moves and thinks, right, he's definitely going to go there. To actually hit it as well as he did and whip it not only past Neuer the other way, but beat Stanisic on the line, have a tiny gap to find. That was really, really impressive. And then Dembele does the same thing.
Dembele gave him the eyes, didn't he? Dembele gave him the eyes, the old eyes, because he's looked far post and then he's just clipped it in off the inside of the post. I mean, again, we talk about the quality of the finishing in off the inside of the post. One of them hitting the side netting by the post. I mean, it's perfect. Even the penalties were perfect as well. I mean, it's, you know, what a night. What a night of quality.
Kane's ball for Diaz's goal for 5-4. We're just enthusing about goals here just permanently. But Kane's ball for Diaz, he's so good at that when he pulls into that 10 position. But he just lifts it into a place where he knows Marquinhos can't get there. And then he trusts Diaz to bring it down and find the finish. And I think trust's a really important word for both of these teams, actually. I've rarely seen groups of players that trust each other to such a degree. They'll play it to people who are double marked and say, that's okay, I can find him because he'll get out. It's not a problem. And what I love about this game and these teams is they've taken football orthodoxy and ripped the whole thing up. You know, go away from home, dig in. Don't play that ball there, you'll lose it. Don't take that risk, that's crazy. And they just think, oh, well, we don't do any of that. We just do our thing. And this is what you get when coaches, and it's freedom to a certain extent, but it's very controlled. It's very, all of the movements are very coordinated. It looks like chaos, but it's all very coordinated.
But it's also partly down to coaches building relationships with players. So they get to have those understanding of, if I play this ball, I know you're going to be there.
And it's also, it's being empowered because they don't feel to me like players who fear their coaches. They feel to me like players who respect them, because there is a difference. There is a difference between that top-down thing where, I mean, Luis Enrique, his word is, you know, his law. You have to go along with what he wants. You have to defend or you don't play. You have to run or you don't play. But within those strictures is trust. And he says, you want to try a trick and you lose the ball? Fine. We'll do it again and we'll do it again and we'll do it again. And this is what you get.
It is baffling, though, John, to say a team scoring five aren't out of sight.
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing I find about it is that, having watched both legs of Paris' game against Liverpool, I came away from that thinking that we're watching a generational team here, that we're watching a team potentially as good as Busquets, Iniesta, Xavi, and that dominant Barcelona side that we watched. And you look at how old João Neves is and Vitinha and Warren Zaire-Emery, the three starters. I mean, they're almost toddlers in terms of football, in terms of their footballing careers. They've got so much of it ahead of them. Do you think they could dominate European football for years? And what I love about tonight is that Bayern have said, oh, don't forget about us. We're still around. And we're not going to just let you go on and dominate European football for years to come, because this Paris side has so many players with so much more to offer. But Bayern have basically said, well, if you're going to do that, we're going to go with you toe-to-toe all the way. And that's brilliant.
It's the iron will that Bayern have. I mean, you look at the second leg of the quarter-final, they're down three times. Every single time they found the answer, and then at the end just powered away from Real Madrid. You look at the game at the weekend, it was a game that they could have easily written off. Or away at Mainz, they're miles clear at the top of the Bundesliga.
They've already won it.
They were crowned champions the week before. 3-0 down. They could have gone, it doesn't really matter, lads. We're going to Paris on Tuesday. It's fine. No. They were like, we want to win this game. And this is what the top players do.
Standards, isn't it?
And it's all, well, that's also the same for Vincent Kompany, because he made changes, bringing on some of those key players in that game that you're talking about in the Bundesliga, knowing we should win this.
And it's the same with Luis Enrique. This is what he's drummed into this set of players, the mindset that, you know, it's never enough. It's never good enough. You've won the Champions League once. Fine, well done. Let's go and do it again.
Yeah.
Let's go and win everything we can. And I think that hunger doesn't come as standard, you know, because you do have to go the extra mile, especially with the way they play, because we can enthuse all we like about the attacking play. They're underpinned by insane levels of effort without the ball.
We could wax lyrically about all the individual talent that there is on display and the amount of individual brilliance that we saw in the game. But it's up to those two coaches to harness all that talent and put it into a team. And Luis Enrique and Vincent Kompany have put together two brilliant teams of individual players who play together. It's really great to watch.
That's the key to it, because when you put together super teams like this, ego is always going to come into it, right? Because you're not going to be a player of this quality if you don't have an ego. I mean, commentators are bad enough, but when you look at players, you are going to have that kind of, right, I'm going to be the best. I want the ball. I want to do this. It's then really something to take all of that and make it look like a team like this. There's not a selfish player among them, because anything that was there about that kind of ego or selfishness, you've got two coaches there, they won't accept it. Because you'll be out. You'll be out. And they've got that authority to say, here are the standards. If you meet them, great. If you don't, you're not going to play. And I think that's probably the biggest tick I can put against both coaches' names, actually. The fact that they've taken that star talent and moulded it into two amazing units like this. It's hard to do.
This tie, or certainly this leg, we wait to see what happened in the second leg, of course, next Wednesday. But people will be waxing lyrical about this one for years and years and years. And just to bring you some of the facts that just emerged from this one game. At 5-3 to Paris, it became the highest scoring semi-final match overall in UEFA Champions League history. The most ever scored in a UEFA Champions League semi-final tie across both legs is 13. So is that going to be broken next week?
Yes. Probably in the first half, I imagine.
I imagine about 20 minutes in, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not going to change, because the way that Bayern play doesn't change. They're not teams that ever really dig in, because it doesn't suit them. Because also, we mentioned the quality of the centre-backs. Now, I actually think the work that Kompany's done individually with Upamecano and then bringing in Tarr in the summer, who has come on leaps and bounds in his career. I remember him as a young defender. He was always somebody who had talent, but he would make some mistakes here and there, and you thought, okay, is he going to be able to make that leap? And he did under Xabi Alonso, so he deserves a lot of credit for that. So he kind of came ready-made to Kompany. Upamecano's had a different journey, very well-respected player, but the extra 5%, I think, has come from working with Kompany. So you got two, and Pacho's partnership with Marquinhos is world-class as well. So you can trust them. They'll mind the shop, and the rest of them can just go zooming forward and do their thing. It's not an easy thing to do. So I just don't see any way that Paris go to Munich and say, OK, boys, 0-0, that'll do us. It's just not going to happen.
Grind it out, lads.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen. And it actually can't. With the personnel you have, it's just not the way they play.
Luis Enrique has such exuberance as a person as well, doesn't he? That you couldn't imagine him enjoying a game where a side went out to play for a 0-0. You saw the way he was bouncing up and down towards the end. He lives every moment.
And I really admire him, actually, because there was a spell in his career when he was with Spain where you looked at his teams and you thought, they're really lovely on the eye. They play some really lovely football. They don't score any goals. How's he going to fix it? How's he going to get to that next stage? And he's worked super hard on, how do I do the last bit? Because he had all the possession and all the patterns, and you thought, wow, they're really good to watch. They just lost 1-0. So that's the bit that he's really worked super hard on. And to get these players to play the kind of football he wants without the ball is really quite something.
Do you know one of the hardest tasks from this evening? Picking the player of the match. It was awarded to Ousmane Dembélé.
Could have been a lot of
that's
money.
What I mean.
Take your
that's
pick.
Really
yeah,
tough.
It has to be an attacking player then. Even though I could not be critical about any defender on the field.
No, I thought they were some of the stars, actually. I thought all the centre-backs were excellent.
We cannot wait then for the second leg, the return leg, which comes next Wednesday, kick-off at 9 p.m. CET. It'll be live on Matchday Live. Are you involved in that one?
Yes.
I think so.
Indeed.
Oh, I look forward to that one. Next on the podcast, we're going to look ahead to the other semi-final, which is taking place on Wednesday.
This is UEFA Champions League Match Day Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats, and much, much more. Get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
The fun then continues on Matchday Live on Wednesday with the other semi-final as Atleti and Arsenal go head-to-head. Here's how the two of them made it to the last four.
Oh, Llorente's hit it in! Absolutely incredible! Marcus Llorente has blasted Atletico back level at Anfield.
Ruggeri flashes across the face of goal. Giuliano Simeone gives Atletico Madrid the lead.
Ruggeri's cross, Sola 2-0. That's a huge goal in this tie.
He's played it to Lookman. Chance here. Atletico Madrid 1, Barcelona 2. They lead 3-2 on aggregate.
Here goes Luis Scaly from deep, and he's reached the edge of the D, and he's found Martinelli. Oh, that is something really, really special.
Back for Martinelli, over the top. Oh, Neuer's come out of goal, and Martinelli's gone round him. It's an open net, and Martinelli scores for Arsenal. Arsenal, with a two-goal advantage, are going to make this 5 wins out of 5.
Trossard back across goal, and it's in. And Gabriel Jesus has scored again.
To go back-to-back semi-finals is an amazing achievement for this group. We want to now go one step further than last year and get to the final. Played Atletico once this year. It was a really good game. We know what to expect. Bring on these last couple of weeks.
Arsenal then, who won the league phase against the 2016 finalists Atleti in what is sure to be another fascinating encounter. And you heard there from Arsenal's Declan Rice a moment ago. Let's hear from his coach Mikel Arteta and captain Martin Ødegaard now, who's been speaking about how much of an honour it is to be competing in this stage of the competition.
It's a massive privilege to be here again 2 years in a row in the semi-final of the Champions League, representing our club. And yeah, what an opportunity. We're going to grab it with both hands. You're going to see a team that wants to be dominant, that wants to win it, and that wants to start to decide the tie tomorrow.
I mean, it's the best part of the season. So yeah, everyone is up for it. Everyone is excited. We know what we play for. And yeah, tomorrow is another great opportunity for us to do something special. And yeah, we know what's there, and we just have to enjoy it and be ready for it. And as you said, take all the lessons, you know, from the past and bring it into this end of the season. And I'm sure we're going to do that. And yeah, looking forward to it.
So the Arsenal camp are up for it. So says their captain, Martin Ødegaard. They get to lose in Europe, Kevin. They have won all but two of their games. What is it about this Arsenal side that we have seen that have been unbeaten in the Champions League this season?
Yes, the defensive part of it is the most impressive part, I think, and that's something that Mikel Arteta has worked on really, really diligently for quite some time. In Gabriel and William Saliba, they have one of the best centre-back pairings in the world, and they've got players who can really hurt you on the counter-attack. I think the thing is with Arsenal is that it's a little bit like Paris were in this competition for a long, long time. You don't know you can do it until you do it. Mm. Until you win that first one, it's really difficult to get over the line mentally. And we saw that with Manchester City for years. We saw it with Paris. That's the challenge for Arteta. He knows what he's done with this team. He knows he's got them this far. Now it's about, can we go that final bit? And that's the hardest bit. But I admire the way they've put themselves in position to win the Premier League. They've put themselves in position to win the Champions League. It's an incredibly hard thing to do. Yes, they went out of the two cup competitions. Yes, they lost to Manchester City in the League Cup. But these are the two, if you offered the fans, these are the two you still want to be in. So they've got this far. Now it's about that final push. But they have world-class players. I mean, Declan Rice is an outstanding midfielder. He really is. And when they're all fit, they're a match for anyone.
They've developed a really good knack of finding a way, haven't they, to win games and to score goals. And a lot of late goals, a lot of drama along the way. And you know, it's the sort of thing that you're going to need when you go into a tie with Atleti. We're a very different Atleti to, you know, what the old typecast stereotyping is of them down the years. So it's going to be a really, really intriguing couple of games. It is that thing that, for Arsenal at the moment, the toughest thing is that the pressure is really on them now. Manchester City have really turned the screw on them in the Premier League, and we're at the real business end of the Champions League. And once you get through the semi-finals and the final, it's almost like a sense of relief that you get there. and then you've got to the big show at the end of it. But, you know, to come through it, you've got to get through a couple of really difficult games that they're going to face.
It's a real mental test. You know, they've finished second in the Premier League in each of the last three seasons. That's tough to deal with because you're nearly there and you're not quite getting there. But they've stuck with it. They've stuck with Arteta, which was the right thing to do. They've given him the opportunity to build this squad. And now it's about just getting that final way. I think it helps having one of the world's best goalkeepers in David Raya, which I think he can legitimately now be called. I think he's in that bracket. And the Atleti thing is fascinating because they're going to make chances. There's no doubt. You know, they put four past Barcelona in the Copa del Rey semi-final first leg. They have just knocked Barcelona out of the Champions League. And John's absolutely right. That idea of them being low block,
defensive,
make it really difficult,
first.
The grinders,
clean sheet first.
Yeah.
The actual thing that gets them through that tie against Barcelona is actually the commitment to the attack. Because you look at the early part of that second leg. So they've been to Camp Nou and they've won by a couple of goals. Barcelona come to their place and score two in no time at all. And then you're really thinking, okay, what are you made of? And it's not the fact that they dig in, it's the fact that they go on the offensive, get the goal from Lookman, that changed the whole thing. Changed the whole thing because it snapped the momentum back their way. It set Barcelona back on their heels. And Barcelona had a man sent off in both legs because Atleti were trying to get men in behind. And that they were trying to attack. They weren't trying to play that low block. They were trying to attack. And I think they will do that. I don't think they'll say, with Arsenal coming to town, they won't say, OK, let's keep it tight and see what happens. Mm. The way to do this is to really go at them.
Yeah, I mean, they've scored 34 goals in the Champions League this season. And only Paris and Bayern had scored more, which kind of goes to show that potency they have in attack as well. They did play each other back in October in the league phase, with Arsenal winning that one 4-0 in what was a 13th minute second half blitz, really. What do you think they would have learned from each other from that they can take into this tie?
I think Simeone will say to his players, for a lot of that game you played well. And then you collapsed, and that's not what we want, that's not what we can accept. But they were still finding their way at that point. Atleti, certainly in the early part of this season, especially away from home, they were actually in games a lot and they were losing them. And they were giving up cheap goals and they hadn't quite clicked, and you wondered how this season was going to go. To Simeone's credit and to his players' credit, they really moved up the gears. And the 5-2 home win against Real Madrid in the derby was huge. It was really huge. Alvarez played brilliantly. And it just gave you a glimpse of what they were capable of. And there are a lot of new players in that team who've taken a little while to settle. So I think they're capable. I do. I think this is close. Arsenal are favourites. They deserve to be favourites. Would it be surprised if Atletico went through? Not massively.
Can this deliver a full throttle like we've seen in Paris?
Maybe not 5-4. But I don't think it's going to be as tight in terms of a low goal-scoring game as people think. I think I could see something where, you know, it is a 2-1 either way or something like that. I think there'll be similarities with the trip to the Alvalade for Arsenal when they went to Sporting had the chances to hit the crossbar. Raya made a couple of great saves. Might have to be that again, where Raya has to come up with some saves and Arsenal maybe manage to make something happen on the counter.
Guarantee it won't be straightforward for whoever wins it. It will be full of incident and yes. Drama.
Can you imagine though, if you're Arsenal and Atletico and you've watched Paris Bayern and you think, oh wow, thanks lads, brilliant.
Yeah, a penny for
set
their thoughts.
Set the bar, yeah. Thanks, set the bar high.
Very much so. And that of course is after that 9-goal thriller in France, with Paris edging Bayern 5-4 in that first leg of Tuesday's semi-final. Let's bring you some reaction to it. Here's the thoughts of Bayern's Harry Kane.
Which was a high intensity game, was a lot of individual battles, a lot of 1v1 duels, and yeah, 9 goals. You know, we'll have to watch it back and to really digest what happened. But yeah, overall, the fact that, you know, we was 5-2 down in the tie away from home, and we found a way to claw it back to 5-4 and take it into the Allianz with everything to play for next week. I'm really proud of the boys.
I mean, he's right to signal the fact that 5-2 down, many teams would have found that impossible to come back from, not this Bayern team. So I need to find out what your moments of the evening were.
I'll let John go first.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
It should be easier,
so
shouldn't
many.
It?
No, it's not, because there was that much. Yeah. There was that many. It's like, how'd you narrow it down to one? I think Luis Diaz's goal to make it 5-4 was the moment, because that was that particular incident that made us all think that what we've seen here is a classic, but also we could also see a classic in 8 days' time.
Yeah.
In Munich.
He's nicked mine. How's he managed that?
You
there
see,
are about 100 moments in the game.
That's what
and
happens when you're being kind.
Exactly. I'm going to pick the 1-1, actually, because it was very Kvaratskhelia. It was classic him. Square up a defender, 1-on-1. Beautiful finish into the far corner. But also the ball from Douay that led to it, outrageously good. So... And what that was really big for Paris.
You could say that about really how many of the goals could you say that about?
Yeah, I mean,
brilliant ball,
Elise,
brilliant ball,
two,
brilliant
two.
Ball. Yeah.
Yeah, but that was big for Paris, actually, because at that stage, Bayern had started brilliantly, and you thought Bayern could really, really motor here, yeah. And that just pegged them back at the right time.
Oh, it's been absolutely terrific. My thanks to Kevin and John for their company this evening. That's just about all we have time for. A phenomenal start to the semi-finals in this year's UEFA Champions League with 9 goals, setting us up brilliantly for next week's second leg between Paris and Bayern. And we hope for more of the same on Wednesday. Matchday Live will be back on air from 8:45 p.m. Central European time with full commentary of Atleti versus Arsenal. Make sure you join us on the Champions League website and app for that. For now, from me, Natalie Sawyer, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye, and we'll see you soon.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.